This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, welcome back. Episode 136 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
What's up, everybody? What's up, Tristan Cannell? Who we got today?
Special guest is Dave Palumbo.
What episode number?
136, man.
God damn, that's good, man. We keep bringing it, don't we?
We've done some content, my man.
We're going to learn today.
But Dave, just another one that we're kind of...
You know what? We might start adding the Kevin Hart sound bit when we have somebody like Palumbo on. Soundbite. They're going to learn today, because that's what he does. He's about to teach some bombs.
I can't wait, man. When you think about the kind of circle that we've developed now with JD and that, and we're always catching up with Joe and just seeing the things he does with Triple H, well, this is the other side of Triple H, the nutrition side now. So for me, every successful person has a good team behind them.
For sure.
And for these two guys, these guys are the best in the business. Joe DeFranco, Dave Palumbo, you don't get much better than that.
Not at all, man. In terms of experience, in terms of credibility, walking that walk, talking that talk, now we get to sit down with him. He shares that insight with you guys, so stay tuned.
Hell yeah. So guys, really appreciate all the messages of support. Please continue to share with your family and friends, and remember to subscribe via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, and continue to leave us those 5-star reviews.
Let's do it. Let's bring them on.
Dave Palumbo. All right, guys, our special guest is Dave Palumbo. Dave is a retired bodybuilder and expert contest prep coach. He's the CEO and founder of RX Muscle and owner of Species Nutrition. His notable clients include the likes of Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. We welcome Dave Palumbo. Dave, welcome to the show, my man.
Thank you for having me.
Dave, thanks for stopping by the Vision Board. To get this thing started, I wanted to talk about, Tris and I in the world recently saw Triple H at WrestleMania. And this guy looks better than ever. I mean, I've been watching him since I was a younger dude. Could you share with our fans a little insight on getting a guy and an athlete like Triple H, where he's at in his development, in that type of shape?
You know, it's important to understand that Triple H is like a bodybuilder mentality, and he's like a machine. He will do anything. If he trusts you, he will listen to anything you tell him to do. So he's easy to work with. Stephanie, his wife, you know, likes her food, and, you know, sometimes she has some slip-ups. He never slips up. So it's two different strategies. With him, I just have to say, all right, what's the game plan? And I have to know it really well, because I know he's not deviating one iota, which is good, because I can make changes and I know they're going to work. So I know his body responds very quickly, you know, to dietary changes. So when I first started with him, we used to do a purely ketogenic diet, and he loved it. I mean, he loves that diet because it's easy for him to travel with it. You know, you don't have to cook rice and potatoes. It's easy to bring nuts and way he uses my whole line of Species Nutrition products. The whole family does, actually. And so they like that. But as he started getting a little older and he stopped doing as much ring stuff, because you got to remember, he runs the show now. The only time he gets in the ring is usually once a year for WrestleMania, maybe SummerSlam. So he's not as active. So I basically figured, well, oh, okay, I could feed him less, but actually the bottom line, I need to feed him more. It was a weird thing because he's training harder in the gym now because he's not in the ring as much. So basically what I did was I kept him on the same fat and protein regimen that I use, which is, you know, a high protein diet, you know, 1.5 grams of protein per pound. I gave him, you know, the typical 0.75 grams of fat per pound that I usually use for most people. But then I also gave him some carbs some days. Some days we did carbs, some days we didn't. And then as we got closer to the event, I would eliminate the days with carbs until we finally went to a purely, you know, ketogenic diet, which is what he likes, because he likes the way he feels. And like I said, it's the convenience of it. And we did that probably for like 4 weeks. That's all we really needed to do is 4 or 5 weeks ketogenic diet. And he trains, you know, really late at night, 12 a.m. with
Joe DeFranco
in his house. And so I know he's getting the workouts in. And he did the cardio. I had him doing, you know, probably I think we had him up to about 45 minutes of cardio, which is not a lot for a bodybuilder. But, you know, he's a busy guy. So, but he gets it in. He gets the workouts in. And like I said, every week, you know, and then as we get closer, every 2 days, every 3 days, you know, he sends me his update pictures. And I treat him like a bodybuilder, basically, in terms of getting him in shape. You know, the only thing we don't do, like we would with a bodybuilder, is I don't water deplete him, and I don't use any diuretics because, you know, he can't afford to get, you know, tear a muscle in the gym. So he has to be functional. He doesn't have to just look good, but he has to be functional. So, you know, I was very happy. Last year I thought was the leanest we ever got him. And this year, my goal was to bring him in a little bigger and just as lean. And I think we accomplished that, which is amazing considering the guy's, you know, in his, you know, mid to starting, I guess he's about 45, 46 now. And he actually might be a little younger than that, 43 maybe. But he's getting better still as he's getting older. And I think it's because he's not beating up his body on a regular basis, weekend in, weekend out.
Yeah, Dave, you mentioned Joe D. Joe D's one of our guys. He's been on ours a couple times. And Tris and I down here in Sydney are both coaches. Could you talk about, though, the importance of the communication between you and Triple H's coach, Joe D, in terms of getting Triple H to where he needs to be and the importance of communicating?
Joe and I will talk if necessary. But, you know, pretty much as long as I know what he's doing with Triple H, then I know what calorically I have to give him. And he doesn't do anything crazy with them. You know what I mean? I always tell people, you could eat no carbs and get through an hour workout, no problem. I mean, strength doesn't get affected by a low-carb diet. You know, endurance does. So, I mean, if Triple H was wrestling or was, you know, working out for 3 hours straight, yeah, he'd have a problem. But the wrestling matches last, what, 10, 15 minutes, if that much. And the workouts, you know, are under an hour. So the diet was really very easy to do with what he had, you know, with the workouts that he was doing. But, you know, yeah, we obviously I want to know what he's doing and to make sure I'm giving him enough calories and everything like that. But I know his body really well now. So I could, you know, if I think he's too flat, all I do is feed him more. And, you know, he never questions if I take away food, but he's always like, oh, are you sure I should eat this? Because yeah. I'm giving him more food. And I'm like, yeah, you're flat, you know, you need it. And usually when I increase his food, then he loses weight. He loses even more weight. He looks fuller, obviously, but he loses more weight because it amps his metabolism up. And I think that goes back to the fact that if you train regularly and you eat right and you sleep right and you're so disciplined and you do this for 10, 20 years, your body it like changes its metabolism. It works differently. It works more efficiently. It burns calories more quickly, especially if you keep your body fat levels low all year round. I can't get fat if I try. You know, it's the weirdest thing. It's like my metabolism is just that good. So if I have deviate for a day or so on bad food, I don't gain weight. And he's the same way. He might get a little watery, but he doesn't really get that out of shape, which, once again, makes my life easier when it comes down to the, you know, getting him, you know, peaked out for WrestleMania. If he went up and gained 50 pounds of fat, I would be a lot harder, obviously.
Dave, where did you first meet Triple H, and what was that process for him becoming one of your clients?
It's an interesting story because, you know, I didn't really know him, but I had met him. And the funny thing is, when I went to a couple of wrestling matches once, and I always thought, you buy into the whole, you know, character there. You know, I'm like, what an ass this guy is. And he's cocky. What an ass. You know, and he's got such a cocky attitude. And out of nowhere, you know, I see him at the Arnold Classic one year. I think it was 2007. I think I was with Muscular Development. I was running their website, and we had a huge booth there. And he walked by because he was with the booth next door. He was representing BSN Nutrition at the time. And we called him up. We had a big stage we set up. I'm like, come on, Triple H, come up on stage. So he came up on stage, and we were just doing some shtick with him, you know, whatever. And I was shocked that he came up, but he's that kind of guy. He's like a guy of the people. And afterwards, he's like, I read your stuff, you know, that you write, because I was doing a Q&A column in there. He's like, I like your stuff. I said, well, yeah, you know, I appreciate that. Thank you. And then out of nowhere, like maybe like 6 months later, I get a call from his assistant, and she's like, this is the assistant Triple H, and she, you know, he'd like to talk to you about diet. Are you available? I'm like, yeah, fine. All right, sure, no problem. So we set up a phone call, and he's like, look, you know, I read all your Q&As, and I really believe in what your diet, and I think it would work well for me. And, you know, I always had trouble getting really lean, and so we started working together, you know, and it just, as a goof, and it we clicked, you know, it worked well, he looked great, he felt great, and so, you know, they're very loyal to McMahon's, you know, if they like you and they get along with you. I mean, I've been working with him for years now, and I'm sure I'll probably work with him probably till one of us dies, Rob's dead, but the bottom line is that, you know, it was such an offbeat type of thing that, like, you know, he just contacted me. He was just like, you know, kind of like a fan of my knowledge, whereas I might have been a fan of the wrestling type of thing. So it's funny. In all walks of life, you might be an expert in one area, but in another area, you might not know much about it. And so you try to seek out the person that you respect the most in that area to learn from them.
Yeah, it's very important to ask for help. We say that all the time on the show, Dave. And then earlier you mentioned Triple H as a bodybuilder mindset, and you were a very successful and accomplished bodybuilder as well. Could you share insights though on what you meant by that, like a bodybuilder mindset?
Sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you asked that question, because I was watching an interview with Dorian Yates the other day, and, you know, he basically, you know, said, you know, I think the interview guy asked him, were you scared when you first, you know, competed against Lee Haney for the first year in 91, I think it was. And he said, you know, Lee Haney was kind of like a guy I looked up to. He was, you know, 7-time Mr. Olympia at the time. And yeah, of course I did. But then I realized, I said to myself, you know, there's no way that Lee Haney is training harder than I am, or dieting harder than I am, or, you know, living a bodybuilding lifestyle harder than I am. And the guy said, well, how did you know that? And he goes, because it was impossible for anyone to train or do anything better or harder than I was doing. So I knew that I was ready, you know. Now, whether I was going to be good enough to beat him or not is another story, but I felt like I did everything I had to, and that no one, he wasn't outworking me. And you know what? I kind of had that same mindset as a bodybuilder. You know, when I was coming up, I was so focused on being the biggest, hardest, best bodybuilder I can be, that there was no stone that I left unturned, nutritionally speaking, supplement-wise, performance-enhancing drug-wise, training-wise, sleeping and recovering-wise, you know, mental state-wise. I didn't go out to clubs. I didn't drink alcohol. I was just focused on the same goal of being the best that I can be. And, you know, that's how Triple H is. You know, you would think, oh, this guy has money. You know, he's the head of the WWE now. Him and his wife run everything with Vince. And, you know, but he still has that, like, that bodybuilder mentality. Like, I want to be the biggest, the hardest, the best. I want to perform. I want to look my best. And he still has that killer instinct. And, you know, it, which is admirable, because I don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm 49. I have no desire to train at that level and to be as big as I was. Although I still eat very healthy, and I still, you know, because my goal now is to be as healthy as possible and to feel good and to be, you know, to stay lean and, you know, and that kind of thing, because I want to, you know, I have kids, young kids, and I want a young kid, and I want to make sure that I'm going to be around for a while. So, you know, your mindset changes, and your goals change, but your mindset never changes. And he has that killer mindset that, you know, there's no way he's failing. That's why when I know he says, all right, I want to be the best this year for WrestleMania, I know he's going to be the best, because he'll do whatever it takes. And he knows that I'll tell him what to do, and I have no problems telling him, hey, you look like shit, or we got to change something. And he won't take it personally. He'll be like, thank you. Well, tell me what to do, you know.
Dave, just sticking on the McMahons and Triple H, one question I did have for you was just in regards to Stephanie. You know, with Stephanie having 3 children and dropping, or putting on, I think something like 80 pounds, and then she went to you and she was able to lose it, and obviously she looks in amazing shape for both the shows and all her photo shoots. Just recently, I've just been having a few of my female friends that have recently had children just ask me advice, and it's probably something that I'm not qualified to actually ask or answer them, so that's why I like to do a lot of research and ask the opinions of qualified people like yourself. So I just wanted to get your opinion on for people that have just had a pregnancy, advice for that, and maybe just share some of the things that you did with Stephanie.
Yeah. Stephanie was one of these people that when she got pregnant, she was just like, all rules are out the window. I'm eating whatever I want. I'm doing whatever I want. And I'll worry about it after the baby's born, you know, and that's probably why she gained more weight than she would have liked, you know, and she likes her food, and, you know, she justified in her head, and she was like, I'm fine with it. You know, now that I've had my third child, you know, get me in the best shape of my life, Dave. And I think I started with her after the second child, but she did train, which was good. So she didn't lose. It wasn't like she was losing all her muscle. She just got put too much body fat on. So after, you know, when we wanted to get her in shape, I think it was after the second baby, this is going to be a tough diet for you. And she's like, look, I really want it. And I think that she, you know, a lot of women after they give birth are really motivated to get back in shape, which is good. And usually after they have a baby, their hormonal makeup is conducive to build muscle and to lose body fat, just because of all the hormones going through them. So if you put them on the right diet and nutrition setup, and supplement program, their bodies will respond, you know, assuming they stick to the plan. Obviously, she was breastfeeding initially, and you can't really do super high intensity activity, you know, when you're breastfeeding, because then, you know, lactic acid comes into the breast milk. So, you know, she wasn't really doing any cardio initially. You know, she was just weight training to prevent that from happening. But I got her on a very solid diet. Also, you know, women, I usually 99% of the time put on a ketogenic diet, you know. And it was the first time she had ever followed one, and she didn't know if she'd be able to not eat carbs, because she's a, you know, carboholic. And as soon as I pulled them out after a week and she got into ketosis, she was like, oh my God, I feel so much better, because I'm not craving anymore. And I give everyone a cheat meal once a week. So she got, you know, she went crazy on her cheat meal every weekend. But, you know, she was so strict during the week that she was losing the weight. And we got the what I call the crap weight off real quickly. And then, you know, and then she wanted abs. So, you know, that's a little harder, obviously, you know, a little more sacrifice. And they are very busy. I mean, they work, you know, more than I do, which is, I didn't think was possible. And so, you know, they have to train at night and they have to sneak in there. And, you know, luckily they have, they have people that can get them their food they need and stuff like that. But, you know, she's very disciplined too. She's just, you know, she's more, you know, she's a little bit more of an emotional leader, whereas Paul, Triple H, that doesn't come into play. If he's not in a good mood, he's not going to sit there and eat an ice cream sundae. You know, he'll probably just go, you know, work out or something like that. So, but, you know, following pregnancy, like I said, women can get into shape really quickly. If you look at some of these transformations of some of the women in our industry, how quickly they get in shape after having a kid, it's unbelievable. Sometimes you're like, how do they lose so much weight so fast? Because their body's hormonal system is primed, especially if they've had boys, because if they had boys, they have more androgen in their bloodstream. So they really build muscle really well. And, you know, the people who tend to have problems with weight after being pregnant is because they're still eating junk. You know, they're not going back and training. They're not doing their cardio, and they're not. And I can understand that, because it's hard, because you're not sleeping as much, because you're up all night, you know, feeding the baby every couple hours. And it is a tough, you know, and I've gone through it with my wife. So we know, you know, how tough it is that the first 6 months. But if you put, you know, the whole thing is getting on a schedule. That's why it's nice to have a coach, because you're accountable to someone. You know, you don't have to think too much. Here, Dave, here's my schedule. How do I eat? How do I train? You know, what do I got to do? And I pretty much laid it all out for her. And I think I simplify things so much that it took that burden of, oh my God, how am I going to get back in shape with all that's going on? And it just said, okay, you know what? Here's the plan he gave me. I'm just going to follow the plan.
Dave, we know you're, you know, you do prep coaching, and, you know, you just mentioned that it's very important as an accountability tool. Do you have a coach? Have you reached out to somebody, or is there somebody that helps you along those lines?
You know, I never had a coach. And although when I first started, I did have some people that helped me. There was a guy by the name of Peter Neff. He was an all-natural bodybuilder in New York who kind of put me on my first bodybuilding diet, you know, I would have to say, and just gave me some discipline and showed me. And he was a disciple of Bob Grushkin. So I didn't know that at the time. But I met up with a guy who really helped me with my training more so than anything else, my friend Doug Wentz, who was another Bob Grushkin disciple. And he basically just gave me all the Bob Grushkin, you know, protocols in terms of PEDs and diet. And you got to remember, I also had a very, you know, I was in medical school, so I had a really good science background. So when I took all this information that these guys were giving me, I then started to make it my own, you know. And like I always tell people, you can't become an expert overnight. You can read every book in the world, you can read every website online, but you're not going to be an expert unless you have a understanding of how the body works. Because you can look at templates and protocols, but what if things don't work? You got to know how to modify things. And that's another reason why I started holding my Secrets to Becoming a Thigh Guru course that I run. I did actually ran it in Australia one time, at Chris Schmidt's place. But I held this every 3 or 4 months because I realized that people don't understand the science of eating properly, you know, nutrition, supplements, PEDs, all the stuff that goes into the bodybuilding industry. They just have no idea of how to do this. And so there's no site out there. There's no college you can go to. So I created my own school, essentially. It's a one-day school because I know bodybuilders have no ability to focus for more than probably one day. And we jam it all in 10 hours. And I give them a great book that I wrote, 80 or 100, almost 90-page manual, with all my notes and all my protocols in there. And we go through it, and I teach them. And that's important. You know, you got to know what you're doing. You know, yeah. It just doesn't intuitively come to you. You have to understand what the science is behind what you're doing if you want to be an expert at what you do.
Dave, what was the transition like when you retired from bodybuilding? Because I know you spoke about PEDs and things like that. In terms of you, did you have to come off it slowly? Can you just take us through that?
Yeah, sure. When I decided, all right, I'm not competing anymore, I just went right to a replacement dose. Because I knew that if I took like 200 milligrams of testosterone a week, I wasn't losing any size unless I wanted to. I just knew I would hold it. I knew I wouldn't get bigger, but I knew I wasn't really going to lose much. And I, at that point, I probably stayed on that for 2-3 years after I stopped competing in 2004. And then I said, you know what? I don't need to be this big anymore. There's no reason to be, you know, eating, you know, 500 grams of protein a day. And even though and training like a lunatic, I said, you know, because my blood pressure was kind of borderline high. I don't know if it was from stress or just getting, you know, aging. You know, as you get older, your blood vessel walls lose some elasticity. And, you know, my dad had high blood pressure. So I felt like, you know what, I should start losing some weight and really make sure my blood pressure is good. Because, you know, at this point now, my goal is health. You know, I want to look great, yeah, but I also want to live a long time. I don't want to, you know, when you're bodybuilding and you're trying to be the best bodybuilder in the world, you do throw some caution to the wind in certain instances. So I eventually cut back my hormone replacement dose, I think, to 100 milligrams per week, because I felt really good at that. And at 100 milligrams a week, believe it or not, and this is everyone's variable, when I would go for blood work, my total testosterone level was over 1,200, which is amazing.
Yeah,
for only 100 milligrams of testosterone week. I know guys who take 200 milligrams of testosterone week, and they're only like 700-800. So there is a variability there, you know, depending on, you know, genetics. And then, I met my wife and we got married and we decided we wanted to have kids. And I'm like, she's like, I don't know, you know, you've been on steroids for 13 years. You've been on hormone replacement for 9 or 8 or whatever it was at the time. Are you going to be able to have kids? I'm like, absolutely. I said, it's a science project. That's all it is. I said, I'm going to start taking HCG clumps. I stopped the hormone replacement. I went to HCG and Clomid initially. And then I incorporated HMG, which is human menopausal gonadotropin, which is a much more direct stimulator of sperm production in the testicles. Whereas HCG is more of a testosterone enhancer. In other words, it tells the testicles to produce testosterone. HMG is more tells the testicles to make sperm. So you want both. And then the Clomid obviously helps your pituitary, you know, increase its signal output to tell the testicles to turn on, essentially. So all three of those together worked like a charm. Within, I think within a month or two, I think I got her pregnant. My wife had a miscarriage, unfortunately. And then 3 months after that, we did get pregnant and I had my son. And so ever since whenever I started the process, which had to be in 15 or 14, 14 and a half, maybe almost 15, almost 2015. I haven't gone back on any hormone replacement because, you know, we're trying to have another kid now. And I've been off for 2.5 years and just doing some sporadic intermittent HCG and HMG. And I feel great, to be honest with you. And I go to the doctor and surprisingly, my testosterone is anywhere from 4 to 650. It's in that range usually, which I never thought my body would turn itself back on naturally, but it did. And I feel good. And all my blood work is normal. I've never had normal blood work in my entire life as a bodybuilder, but my blood work all comes back normal now. There's not one deviation in anything anymore. So to me, I'm like, you know what? I got a good formula. It works. I don't feel bad. I have a lot of energy. My sex drive is good. It's not like it was on 1,000 milligrams of testosterone a week, but, you know, it feels good. You know, I'm good enough where I'm not like a lunatic. And, you know, I think that that's – and that might not be for everyone. I tell a lot of guys, look, if your testosterone is low, if you're under, you know, 300, you know, you should take replacement as long as you're not trying to get your wife pregnant or something like that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with replacement. I would go back on it if I needed it, but I really don't. I'm like, if I don't have to take anything at this point and I feel good and I can train and I have energy, then why take anything extra than I need?
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show. Dave, I played sports at a high level for my whole youth up until my 20s. I've never done any performance enhancement, but I'm really intrigued by like my natural test levels. I've never gotten them tested. I turn 35 next week. Would you recommend going, because I'm thinking about, I've been hearing some friends going to a doctor, getting my test levels checked, and if they're low, is there a protocol for that for somebody like myself?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I have a friend from high school who I've been telling him for years, get your testosterone checked. I bet you it's low. And he went there and it was low. It was like 200. And,
Jesus.
And he said to me, he goes, how did you know it was going to be low? I said, you've probably been low your whole life. I said, because you never really had a lot of muscle on your body. You know, as a kid, when we grew up, we went to kindergarten together. I said, you really never had a lot of muscle on your body. It wasn't like you were the greatest athlete. I said, so, you know, I was like an aggressive lunatic. I probably, my testosterone was probably 1200 when I was a kid, you know, because I have in my genetically, that's, you know, it runs in my family. He didn't have that. A lot of guys could be low their whole life and they just don't know it because no one gets their testosterone checked when they're younger because they figure there's nothing wrong. Mm. And, you know, you could, that doesn't mean you don't have a sex drive or you can't have sex because your testosterone is lower because your body acclimates to whatever the level is. It just means you won't build, recover muscle. You won't be as aggressive. You know, you know, those are also the guys that don't break out, you know, or lose their hair either. So there are benefits and there are disadvantages to it. But the bottom line is he was low. I told him I sent him to Titan Medical Center over here in Tampa, and they put him on a regimen, and he's, you know, on replacement testosterone. They put him on a little HCG and an estrogen blocker, like an Arimidex or something like that. He's on a little bit of that a week, and he feels phenomenal. The best he ever. He put on muscle, and he's not taking a lot. He's taking like 200 milligrams a week, and he feels fantastic. And he's like, I can't believe I suffered this long.
Now, is this something once you go, you required to stay on until you die, or is it something that they cycle you on and off in terms of like TRT replacement therapy?
I think that hormone replacement is something that you could certainly stay on forever. I don't think there's any reason to come off of it unless you had some kind of something that was contraindicating of it, maybe a prostate cancer or something like that. But testosterone, you know, is very innocuous in the body in the sense it's not toxic in any way. It's something that your body naturally produces. And if you keep the dosage in the range of what we call physiological ranges, which is what your body naturally would produce, you know, rather than take it into the pharmacological ranges, which is, you know, what your body wouldn't naturally produce, which is what causes the, you know, the enhanced muscle growth, you know, when you take, you know, large amounts of steroids, it really is pretty safe. There's really no side effects, you know, to it. So why anyone would want to stop hormone replacement other than trying to get their wife pregnant or something like that is, I don't know. I wouldn't do it. If I was low naturally and when I took it, I felt great, I would just stay on it.
Okay. Yeah. Dave, we talked a little bit before about keto diets. Just for people out there that aren't as educated or thorough in that sort of subject, can we just get a little bit of education from you on what keto is, who it suits, and how you go about applying it?
Yeah. You know, a ketogenic diet is great for most regular people to use, or people who don't have ridiculous, crazy genetics and metabolisms, because the number one reason people fail on diets is because they get hungry or irritable, or their moods are screwed up. And why do people get hungry, irritable, and their moods get screwed up? Because their blood sugar is low. Why is their blood sugar low? Because they're eating low carbs. Because everyone has to lower their carbs to lose weight. Okay.
Yeah.
And the brain, by nature, uses glucose as a fuel source. So when you lower your amount of glucose that's coming into your body, your brain has less fuel. And while you're eating, you feel good. And between meals, you feel terrible, you know, especially when you get really lean. So most people will cheat because of that or feel terrible or get into arguments with their girlfriends and just be miserable. On a ketogenic diet, you're not eating any direct sources of starchy carbs. The brain has no fuel source, essentially. Mm. And after 3 or 4 days of being of the brain starving, essentially, it realizes, hey, we need nutrition. We need to function. It switches its metabolism into using fats as fuel. When your brain does that, and the kind of fats it uses are what we call ketone bodies or ketones. When the brain does that, makes that switch, you're said to be in a state of ketosis. So all ketosis means is that your brain is using fat for fuel rather than carbs. And the only way we'll do that is if you're on a very, very low carb diet. You know, you could eat like, you know, some vegetables or maybe some fibrously carbs, but you really can't eat any starchy carbs. But once you do that and your brain has an unlimited fuel source now, because you always have some fat in your body, now you don't feel so bad. You don't get the mood swings. You don't get the blood sugar drops. You don't get the irritability. And that's much more – now you're much more likely to be able to stick to this diet and get success from it. So women love it because they don't retain any water because they're not eating carbs. Guys like it because they feel good. And after, like I said, the biggest problem people have is they don't feel good on the diet. So when you can fix that issue – you have a much more successful success rate. Not to mention that when you eat low carbs, your insulin levels are low. Mm. And insulin is the only storage hormone, is the only hormone in the body that stores calories as fat. So it's not a hormone you want to have a lot of when you're trying to lose weight. So if you keep your insulin levels very low by following a ketogenic diet, you're going to be in a much more, a hormonal state that's much more conducive to fat loss than fat gain.
Is it something that, just say when a client comes to you and they just, for example, we'll just use Stephanie, for example, she loves carbs. Is it something that you gradually take the carbs away from her, or is it just cold turkey straight up?
I take them out. I want to get the person into ketosis as quickly as possible. Okay. Now, if the person came to me and said, hey, we have 25 weeks to a show, I might slowly taper them down until I get to the 20-week mark and then pull them. But for most people, when they come to you, as clients and want to lose weight, they're like, I'm disgusted with the way I look. I want to lose weight as quickly as possible. That's usually most people's goals. So I get them right into, especially if they're women, I put them right onto a ketogenic diet. Although, unless they have a good metabolism and they're not that fat, you know, in which case I might give them like 1 or 2 days a week where they do have a little bit of carbs in their diet. But
yep.
More than likely, I go right to a ketogenic diet with women that need, especially women that need to lose a lot of weight. And after they get through that first 3 or 4 days, they feel much better. They're like, oh, I feel so good. And usually the greatest motivator of a ketogenic diet is the first 2 weeks, you usually lose a lot of weight because you're losing a lot of water weight. Because remember, carbs store water. So when those carbs and that glycogen in the muscles get depleted out, you lose a lot of fluid with that. So you can lose, you know, 10, 15 pounds, you know, if you're a guy the first 2 weeks. If you're a woman, you could lose 5 to 8 pounds easily. And that's a very big motivator. Oh, wow, I lost 8 pounds in 10 days. Oh, my God, this diet's working, you know. I don't necessarily go and tell people, well, look, it's not all fat, but because I know it's motivating them, but I explain to them that the fat loss will slow now, but you're on the right track. And I think that's a good, like I said, a good positive reinforcer that, hey, this is the diet for me.
And how do you gauge, how would one gauge listening at home if their body is going back and forth or if it stays in a state of ketosis? Is it just a feeling? Is there any way to track this?
I always tell people these keto sticks, or they have ketogenic, you know, the testing strips you can pee on, and they're very inaccurate. If you're not eating carbs, you're in ketosis.
All right.
That's the bottom line. If you're not eating carbs, you're in ketosis. There's no other way, because what is your brain using for fuel? You know. Now, one mistake that you can make is some people think, well, you know, Dave's pretty smart. I'll eat the protein. I know he wants me to eat protein and fat and no carbs. I'll just eat protein. And I'll eat no carbs. I'll eat no fat. And this way I can lose weight faster. The problem with that is that when you don't give your body a fuel source in the meals you're eating, invariably your body will convert the protein you're eating, at least 50% of it probably, into carbs, which then causes insulin release. And then we're back to the same problem. You know, so you want to make sure that you're having some fats, you know, within your meals. And it doesn't have to be every day. Like sometimes I'll put a girl on, you know, one day where they're eating protein and fat, one day they're eating protein and vegetables. Because the lucky thing about fats is they can be stored. So you don't have to eat them every single day. But by and far, you want to try to give the body a fuel source at every meal.
Is there any stage where you do have to introduce a little bit of carbs back in there, Dave?
Well, I give a cheat, what I call a cheat meal. Some people call it a refeed meal. I give that once a week to people, not just for something to look forward to, but because on a low carb diet and low insulin diet, what happens is your thyroid hormone can slow down. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, there's two thyroid hormones essentially in the body, and there's probably more than that, but just for simplicity's sake, there's T4 or thyroxine that's released directly from the thyroid gland, and that converts into T3, which is another hormone that's the active thyroid hormone. That T4 to T3 conversion is dependent upon insulin. So if insulin levels are really low for long periods of time, the T4 to T3 conversion can slow down. By giving a cheat meal, which has carbs in it and spikes insulin, you kind of negate that slowing down. So it kind of keeps your metabolism cranking. It basically keeps your body on its feet. It doesn't really know what's going on. Your body thinks, oh, I think he's dieting. I'm going to slow down everything. And then all of a sudden you get this big cheat meal and it's like, oh, nope, I was wrong. Let's keep cranking the metabolism. So like I said, now there are some people who can do a lot of damage in one meal and they might overeat. It's not really a last meal on earth type of, thing. So you got to just think, hey, I'm going to eat protein and then some other stuff with it. You know, if you want to play a pasta, you want to have a small dessert. I go to an all-you-can-eat sushi place. Some people like to go for burgers and fries, but just don't go to like the donut place and then the candy place and then the ice cream place and just line up all junk food. That's not what the cheat meal is. It's still a meal, which means it has to have protein and a fuel source. So it's just a messier meal. It's not as clean.
All right, Dave, let's transition a little bit into the business side of things. You founded a few companies. You're CEO and owner of Species Nutrition. Your business savvy is equally impressive. Could you share with us some insights on, how that's developed? Have you gone to school for it? Did you have a mentor? And talk a little bit about Species Nutrition.
Sure. I always wanted to start my own nutrition company because I felt that, hey, I know what supplements I really need in my body. And there was never a company out there that really addressed every combination and dosage and potency that I wanted. So I just knew I couldn't do it while I was competing because it's too time consuming, and I needed to focus on training and being the best bodybuilder I can be. So when I retired in 04, I think I worked with Champion Nutrition a little back in 95. In 95, 96, I worked for a company called Huge Nutrition. They had me. I actually formulated a lot of their products. And then in 96, at the end of 96, early 97, I worked with Metrex, which was my dream position because I wanted to work with Scott Connolly, Dr. Connolly. I wanted to learn from him, and he's like a genius in protein metabolism. So I was very, very happy working for them, and I believed in their products. I used all their products at the time. This was the original Metrex. And then when Metrex was sold in like 99, they basically got rid of all their athletes. And I said, I'm not going to associate myself with any other companies unless I really believe in them. And I'm going to really try to, focus on starting my own company at some point. But I knew I was still competing. In 04, I worked with, or 05, I worked with Gat Nutrition. I was the first guy they used on jet fuel ads. Oh, and then after that, I said, no, I had a couple companies, a lot of companies actually contacted me after I retired because they wanted me to, develop products in them. And I'm like, I want to make let me do my own line. So I was working for MD at the time, muscular development, and I was making a good paycheck. And I said, I'll just start my own. Like, who cares if I make money or not? I'm just going to come out with the best quality products. And I started coming out with developing. I had stimulant-free fat burners. I had a sleep aid. Those were my first two products. And then I went with a whey isolate. That was isolized, became isolized, which was super popular. I started out, it was a sample. I had a white tub on my counter in my kitchen. And whenever my friends and bodybuilders would come over my house, because I had a lot of athletes I was working with, they always look and search my house for things that I was doing that I wasn't telling them. And they're like, what the hell is that white container? It has no label on it. I'm like, it's just a project I got. The truth was, I had a manufacturer make me a couple tubs for myself. I was using it. And they all said, I want to try it. And everyone was trying. They're like, this is delicious. Is this stuff good for you? I said, well, yeah, it's a pure whey isolate. No one was really selling a pure whey isolate at the time. And they're like, well, why don't you make this? So after a couple of, people twisting my arm a little bit, I produced the first vanilla and chocolate isolized. It became super popular. And then I went on to make all the products that I used. V-mineralized, which was my vitamin mineral mix, all chelated minerals with super high dosages, arthralized for joints and connective tissue, really high dose glucosamine and MSM, And then I came out with my essential fatty acid supplement, which is probably my one of my best supplements, Omega-Lyze. And once I had those, and then, of course, I came out with a fiber supplement everyone told me no one would buy, which is it's actually my best-selling product. It's called Fiber-Lyze. Once I came out with those core products, I'm like, this is what people need. Now I feel good. I have I don't know if anyone will buy it, but all my clients bought it. But I didn't know if I would make any money from it. But I said, I don't care. So I kind of took the – from a business standpoint, it was probably the worst business – advice you can possibly give anyone. Make what you want, not what people demand. So I had all the products that no one wanted but or didn't know they needed, and so I had to basically start going out there and educating people, because otherwise no one was going to buy my products. Why should I spend more money on Dave's products, or why should I buy these products that don't seem so glamorous? I want a pre-workout, I want a pump product, I want an amino acid product. And I had to tell people why these products were the most important products to have first. So it wasn't a very good business decision I made, but I felt good about it because I felt like I put out products that I was proud of and that I was using. And the biggest hypocrite I could possibly be would be put out a product line but yet buy someone else's products because mine suck.
Yeah.
Couldn't do that. I just couldn't – my moral convictions wouldn't allow that. As far as business, I think I'm a terrible businessman actually. I'm good at what I do because I'm so passionate about it, and I think the energy just comes out there and people like, oh, I can relate to what he's saying. It makes sense. You know, he's right. But I'm not a good businessman because I'm terrible at giving orders out to people. I'm not hard. I'm too nice to people. So in that sense, I probably could have made a lot more money than I did up to this point if I would have just been business focused rather than, you know, just wanting to put out great stuff. I'm of the belief that if you put out great stuff, people will come to you. Build it and they will come. You know, the old saying from Field of Dreams. And I believe if you're passionate about what you do, you'll make money. You know, RxMuscle.com, which is our media website, still doesn't make money. You know, I'm happy if I, you know, I'd like to make money from it, but it's, you know, in a couple months we make money here and there. And I've made in the past when we had a really good stretch in 2012 where we were bringing in some good advertising, but I was spending a lot of money too because I was covering all the shows. So it was never about that. It was about providing a service and entertainment to people. And I said, you know what, if I can at least cover my bills and pay my employees, then I'm happy with that, because that's a good marketing tool for me, you know, for Dave Palumbo to get out there and for people to see him. And I figured, you know what, I don't need to make money from that. Would it be nice to? Yeah, but I don't need to make money from RX Muscle. So I kind of used RX Muscle as my marketing tool for myself. And Species Nutrition is my baby. You know, that's my line. It's like, you know, that's the kid I nurture. And little by little, Species has been making money. You know, it's not a huge moneymaker. It pays a salary to myself and my wife, which is nice. It pays our health insurance. It's not making me millions. But believe it or not, I make most of my money from helping nutrition clients. You know, people get ready for competitions and just people lose weight. And that, you know, so I, in a sense, I have three businesses. And they all feed each other. And I think that's important. It's important, number one, to have different streams of income when you're going into business. Don't just put all your eggs in one basket. Because if one thing stops, then you got nothing. Okay? If one thing stops of mine, I have 14 other things that are still netting me income. And that's important. That gives you security, and that makes you feel more relaxed. You don't want to have stress every single, you know, day. Am I going to be able to pay the bills? So it's important that you have multiple streams of income, I think, at all times. Yeah. And I always had that my whole life. You know, I mean, my whole bodybuilding career. Even when I was just guest posing and had a supplement contract, I was still doing diets for people. And if people wanted me to train them in the gym, I went to the gym. I always had made sure of that. And I think that's important in business. You need to have something to fall back on, because there's going to be good months and there's going to be bad months. And during the bad months, you have to be able to survive. I said this a long time ago. You know, all these companies are, you know, even Muscular Development is doing terrible. They owe millions of dollars out to people because the industry has changed. The magazine industry is shot. No one reads magazines anymore. So it's important that you have, you know, you can get through the hard times. And like I said, my advice or my saying is just as long as I'm still in business, I'm doing the right thing. As long as you stay in, sometimes you have to just survive, you know. And we went through a real bad supplement company drought recently where, I mean, the companies were going out of business left and right. And I said, look, if Species survives this terrible time when there's too many companies out there and everyone's giving away everything for free because they're panicking, I said, we're going to be in a very good position. And we mustered the storm, just like a lot of these other companies that are still around mustered the storm. And now we're doing well, because I think a lot of those crap companies are out of business now, and then just people realize, you know what, there isn't a lot. There's not that much money to be made in supplements. you got to have a niche for yourself. And not everyone can, everyone, Harry, Joe, and Dick can come out with their own supplement line and make money. You have to have a niche. Find what your niche is and then capitalize on that. Don't try to be something you're not. If I go to try to sell my product to CrossFitters, yeah, I think that they should use it, but I don't know that audience. That's not my audience. My audience is the hardcore audience, and I can't abandon them because there's plenty of hardcore people out there to support my line.
Yeah. Well said.
Yeah. Dave, can we get your opinion on, you're an expert in supplements. What do you take pre-workout? What do you take during your workout? And how quickly post-workout do you consume something?
Pre-workout, I always like something that digests really quickly, okay, because I don't like anything laying in my stomach. If you go eat a huge meal and go to the gym, all that nutrients you just ate are just going to be laying in your stomach. So, yeah. When I was competing, I always did like a shake before I went to the gym, you know, whether it be a whey isolate with some kind of a high molecular weight carbohydrate, like, I use my Isolize and Carbolize. Back in the day, however, you know, there was no high molecular weight carbs. So we would use Ultra Fuel, or we would use, you know, grape juice, and we would mix it with, you know, whey protein or a Metrex packet. I usually like to put a little bit of fat in a meal before I go to the gym too, because sometimes if you just eat carbs and protein, it goes through you too quickly and you get low blood sugar while you're in the gym, which is something you don't want. So sometimes I'll put a tablespoon of macadamia nut oil. I'll mix that into my shake. And I'll usually take that about 20 to 30 minutes before I go to the gym. I'll go to the gym and train. Now, I don't believe bodybuilders need an intra-workout shake because, number one, your kidneys and your internal organs of digestion shut down when you're weight training or exercising at all, because all the muscles and all the blood is in the muscles. Can you absorb some nutrients through your stomach and intestine? Yeah, sure. But you know, if you're off season, you want to drink a little bit of carbs. You know, I used to sip on a Gatorade for electrolytes and stuff like that, or a coconut water. That's fine. But you're not taking amino acids intra-workout. It's not going to make you recover faster, and it's not going to make you perform better in the gym. Okay, it might be a placebo effect. You might like the way it tastes, but if you're banging amino acids all day long while you're dieting, trying to lose body fat, you're going to stop your fat burning. You're going to slow it down. But I do think that post-workout is very important to get the right nutrition in. Now, intra-workout, probably the most important thing is staying well hydrated. Mm-hmm. So drinking water or a very dilute sugar solution, whether it be coconut water or Gatorade or some kind of smart water, whatever they, vitamin water, That's fine, you know, but I wouldn't be spending, you know, $70 on an intra-workout shake thinking that it's doing anything for you. Pre-workout, post-workout, important. Intra-workout, probably the biggest waste of money. Post-workout, you know, the number one thing you want to take in is a very fast-absorbing whey protein isolate. Why? Because it's very high in branched-chain amino acid residues, and that's what turns on the protein repair mechanisms in the body. So basically, it flips the switch on. Now, obviously, you still have to funnel nutrients in after that, you know, with whatever the follow-up meals are after that to repair all that muscle. But the whey protein getting in, and because whey isolate is essentially digested in minutes, that's going to turn on the protein machinery. Carbs have nothing to do with repair of muscle. All carbs do is re-glycogenate the muscles. They put the glycogen glucose back into the muscles that you just used up in a weight training session. So post-workout, I like to do a high molecular weight carb shake, and I like to do whey isolate mixed together. Usually I do 40 grams of like Carbolize and 50 to 60 grams of like my whey isolate isolized. And I have that immediately after I train, and then I go home and you can rest and take your time. And if you want to have your next meal an hour and a half after that, that's fine. But the pre-workout is something I just, like I said, it's, you can have a regular food meal if you want. I just don't like stuff laying in my stomach. But if you had a meal an hour before you went to the gym, that would be fine. But the post-workout shake is something you want to be absorbed very quickly.
Dave, with the pre-workouts, it just seems like there's stimulants everywhere. Everybody's caffeinating themselves, and it seems like we're like the guinea pig generation of, you walk into a sub store, there's 100 different stimulants. So it's kind of led me down this path of reading on alternatives. I was interviewing Lane Norton. I was asking him about nootropics and urogenics and, the effects – like the stimulant the caffeine has on the CNS. Do you recommend, are you taking pre-workouts, and do you recommend this is the way to go, the right way to go if you need that energy?
I'm very anti pre-workout because I think that people take too many stimulants and that really raises cortisol levels through the roof. Taking a pre-workout one time during the day before the gym is not the worst thing you can do. But if you're taking them all day long, because you want to feel energy and jacked up.
Yeah.
You're stressing the hell out of your body, and you're raising your cortisol levels through the roof. And cortisol is a hormone that does everything the opposite of anabolic steroids. It breaks down muscle. It causes fat deposition in the abdomen. It suppresses the immune system. So we don't want a lot of cortisol in our body. Matter of fact, I was so paranoid about cortisol that when I was competing, if I was driving and I got into a close call where, you know, you jam the brakes on, you get that you feel that adrenaline rush, I was like, man, I'm losing muscle. That's how crazy I was about it. So I don't want a lot of cortisol in my body. I want to be relaxed. It's important that you're not high strung. Okay. So stimulants cause cortisol release. Now, that's not to say that when I dieted for shows, I didn't drink coffee. I did. I drank, you know, probably two to three cups a day because, you know what, it's better than cheating. But I never used caffeine pills. You know, I try to be as natural about it as possible. But I'm sure espresso shots, you know, over ice at Starbucks is probably, you know, is a lot of stimulants in there. But you know what, I didn't use it off season at all. I never took any caffeine off season. But pre-contest, I would do it just because, you know, like I said, I was always hungry and I needed to, you know, a little energy for the gym. I think that that's fine. But like I said, I don't have a problem if people did one pre-workout, you know, 5 days a week during before their weight training session. It's when you start doing it too many times a day that's when it becomes deleterious.
Dave, what's your training goals now, man?
To be honest with you, you'd be ashamed. I'm ashamed to say it, but I train 3 days a week because, you know, I'm just too busy, especially with my son being born You know, and the business and everything like that. I go to the gym I divide my body into three parts, and I do a third each time I go to the gym, and I try to stimulate maximally when I do go there. And you know what? To be honest with you, maybe at 49, it's actually a better regimen for me. Probably 4 days a week would be perfect, but I stimulate, you know, I only train each body part once a week anyway, so whether I do it over 3 days or 5 days, I don't think it matters. Now, if I was a guy who got fat really easily, I might notice that because I'm only really training 3 days a week, but I don't get fat. So for me, the extra recovery time is probably good. And given the fact that I have a lot of, like, my shoulder joints are destroyed and I need two shoulder replacements, it's probably not the worst thing not to be training, you know, it's 4 or 5 or 6 times a week. You know, it's probably better. But I do my whole body, and I love going to the gym. It's my sanctuary. It allows me to vent a lot of, you know, stress, and I feel good when I leave, and my body responds really well. So I mean, once I'm going on a regular basis, I feel like I look good.
Nice. All right, Dave, we've hit the personality round of the interview. Johnny's got the first question.
All right, Dave, just for our listeners at home and your fans alike, could you give some advice when you're having bad days, something that works for you to overcome adversity?
I always have more than one interest in life. I always tell people, always have a hobby and what you love to do. Don't just have bodybuilding, because then if you tear a muscle in the gym, you're going to want to commit suicide. So, you know, I'm into keeping reptiles now. I used to breed cats back in the 90s.
Oh, I saw your snakes. I saw your snakes online.
Yeah, I was into cars for a while. I had a crazy car collection. So you got to have some obsession other than bodybuilding so that you can, when things aren't going good, you always have something to make you feel good about yourself. And of course, everyone has bad days, but you got to remember the sun will come up tomorrow. So get through the bad day. Don't commit suicide over the fact that you're having one bad day, and tomorrow will be a better day. And if it's not, the following day will be a better day. Like I said, it's human nature. Sometimes things go wrong, you know, but you always got to look for what you do have that's going on. Appreciate what the good things are in your life, because everyone has something good going on in their life. Even if they think it's minuscule, it's still something good, and have appreciation for that. And when you focus on the appreciation for what you do have, the negative stuff that's going on in your life does not get a life of its own and reproduce itself, so to speak. In other words, if you constantly are preoccupied with all the bad stuff in your life, you're going to get more bad stuff. That's just the way it works. You get what you think about, whether you want it or not.
The good stuff. Yeah, nice. All right, Dave, I'm going to take you back to your childhood. What posters did you have on your bedroom wall growing up?
Posters I had, I remember. I had Bo Derek.
Ten?
From Ten. Yep. 10, I don't remember her.
That's pretty good.
And I had, I loved Cheryl Ladd, who was in Charlie's Angels. She was like the replacement for Farrah Fawcett. I didn't have the typical Farrah Fawcett poster as a kid in the 70s. So I had that, those two, and I think I had a Star Trek poster on the wall because I was a big Trekkie as a kid.
And Dave Palumbo, if three of your closest friends were sitting at a table and you weren't in the room, what sort of things would they be saying about you?
three of my closest friends, like real friends you're talking about.
Yeah, real friends.
not the fake ones.
Yeah, no, the real ones.
I don't know. Maybe that they'd say he's an asshole. I don't know. I don't know what people think. This is what I would like people to think of me. If my closest friends were there, they'd say, you know what? Dave's a good guy. He's compassionate. You know, he cares about his friends. You know, he cares about what he does. And I respect his work ethic because I work very hard for that.
That's awesome.
All right, Dave, final question. You're going to be hosting a private dinner party. You've got 5 invites, only rules, no family or friends, but it can be anyone dead or alive. Now, who are you inviting?
5 people I'm inviting to a dinner party. Historic. They could be historical, right?
Anyone you want, man.
You know, I don't know. I'd probably invite Muhammad Ali. I'd probably invite Jesus Christ. I would invite... I have 2. I got 3 more people left to invite, right?
Yeah.
Let me think. People. Albert Einstein. Thomas Edison, because I think he's a genius. And George Washington. How about that?
Awesome. All right, guys, everyone at home, get following Dave. He's online, www.davepalumbo.com, rxmuscle.com, on Twitter and Instagram. He's at huge285, and you can also check his app out, the Dave Palumbo Experience. Dave, my man, that's been a great hour we've shared with you, man. Very educational, and I've enjoyed the hell out of that, bud.
I'm glad you guys did. Hopefully, all your listeners out there have learned a thing or two. And, you know, my email is huge285@AOL.com. If people have questions, you know, for me, or they want to do coaching or anything like that, or just, you know, give me their insights. I answer all my own emails, so that's not a problem. And you did mention my Dave Palumbo Experience app, and I just wanted to just put one more plug in for that, only because people have been begging me to do something like this for years. It's a place where you can find all my articles and videos that I do. It's also something that gets updated daily with workout programs, new stuff that I write. I do an exclusive Q&A video where I answer all the – basically anyone who's a member of the app can submit questions to me. I answer most of the questions. The best ones I save every week, and I do like 5 or 10 question Q&A video, which is only available to the app members. No one else can see it. And people just love this app. I can't tell you how much feedback I've gotten from it. It's $29 a month, but it's like you get your own personal coach because you can ask me questions. Plus, you have all my routines on there, all my regimens. And if there's something not on there, people send me an email or submit a request, and I put it up there. So it's really, like I said, it's like a library of knowledge that you can actually trust. Whereas the internet is a great bevy of information. You just don't know what's right and what's not right because no one edits the stuff. So I think a lot of people are enjoying it. You can download it at the iTunes store or you can download it at the Android store that's available there.
Thanks a lot, Dave. We'll put that in the show notes, man. Once again, we appreciate you sharing the space with us. Thanks a lot for that.
You're welcome.
Wow, what a great experience with Dave Palumbo, man.
Yeah, man. I love talking to these guys, fitness-based but science-oriented. And, you know, he's not giving you any false information. The dude's walked his walk. And he's speaking from experience, and his intent is strictly to help people. So that was exciting.
Yeah, it was just little insights that we don't get to see every day. You know, you hear people talking about keto, but they don't do it.
Yeah, what is it?
What is it, who it applies to, and always the little different things that I really think that he did demonstrate his expertise in that area today.
For sure. The business side of things, his path, the mindset it takes to be a bodybuilder, to train Triple H, to be credible on giving advice to one of the most, you know, Paul Levesque is one of the most successful businessmen, not only, you know, entertainers in America, and Dave Palumbo is a big part of that.
Yeah, I think we'll chat more on the Friday wrap-up about it, but, you know, just the openness just to talk about PEDs and the great question you asked about the testosterone. So,
yeah, man.
I think there's going to be a lot of education for people to bring out of this episode.
For sure, man. Well, like you said, we'll touch base on that. You know, just keep tuning in and, you know, keep learning.
Yeah, guys. So, like we said, catch the wrap-up show on Friday. Next week, another huge week. We've got Mike Vacanti and Elliot Holtz is coming back on. So it's going to be a huge one, man.
Fitness industry, 2 murderers in that industry, man. We like learning from these guys, and, you know, they're slowly, brushing shoulders. Mike V's our boy, Elliot part 2. Let's bring it.
Yeah, so it's going to be another great week, guys. So just remember to keep tuning in, keep sharing with your family and friends, and we will check you soon.
Let's rock and roll, big dog.
Peace.
Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.